Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Hey Kids Comics after a two-week hiatus because of All Con, the con that is all. I am Andrew Farmer, as always your host, joined by my co-host and Frozen cosplayer, the Jedi Cole Houston. You out there, Cole?
I am indeed, and unfrozen for this.
Okay. Eddie Medina is with us. Eddie Funky Cold Medina has joined us today.
That's right. That's right. Near and dear to my heart, and I would not miss
Frozen Medina.
Eddie, who we all are, I should state that we are all coming off of All Con. We're a little lethargic. We're like bears coming out of hibernation right now. Kind of shaking it off.
That's right. We're slowly, you get David Attenborough out there watching us. The cast of Hey Kids Comics emerges from the den after a long winter sleep, discovering for the first time the joy of spring and a new episode.
I dare you to do the whole episode in that voice.
Can you do the whole episode as Dave Attenborough?
As David Attenborough.
Uncovering, by the way, the topic of this issue...
That might be a good thing.
They're like
once they have shaken off the addled,
right?
The effects of their hibernation, they remember to mention the topic of the show,
right? Which is, it's a topic that's near and dear to Eddie's heart.
That's right.
I am, as I go back through doing research for this, I'm remembering so much that I wish I could just forget again. We are doing promotional comics giveaways. We've kind of gone in depth into cash grabs on Hey Kids Comics, but this is different. This is straight up promotion and an attempt to get you to buy something that isn't just a comic book for the most part. Some of it is, we're going to discuss that as well.
Yeah.
Gimme Fanboy, Something for Nothing. Cole, do you have another title?
I was just thinking like something along the lines of like, you know, Free Comic Book Away.
Free Comic Book Way.
That's a good one, too.
So basically, that's what this is going to be about. It's going to be about all the giveaways, the free stuff, the 90s. And it's not just, it was extremely prevalent in the 90s, but it wasn't just the 90s, because were popular in the 90s, like super, yeah. Which we've discussed, like everybody had a comic book, and everybody, X-Men had 35 comic books. Why not let AIM toothpaste?
Exactly.
I think, especially because Colgate had the cavity creeps and the whole Colgate. You know, they had a television presence. AIM was having a lot harder time probably reaching the kids.
I really liked it when Jonah Hex heated up that hatchet and scarred the hankering for a hunk of cheese guy into a nice grilled cheese, into a nice panini. That was a good one.
The biggest mistake is that Timer showed up there at the camp. Someone had Butch Cavendish, or I don't know who.
Butch Cavendish?
Like the Etrigan had appeared in the past.
And, oh my gosh.
And slaughtered Cookie. So they really didn't have anything to eat. So yeah, naturally, as soon as they saw him, he's like, here he comes singing his song of cheese. And Jonah Hex has got a mean hunger going on. He's bounded.
plus
like, that's a good idea, partner.
Plus, let's not forget that he's an aberration.
Yeah, oh that's gosh. True.
He's a horrible aberration. So, okay. I know, all joking aside for the next 30 seconds. Eddie, you said that this is a topic that's near and dear to your heart. Do you have a collection of these? Are you?
I do. I really do. And this is why. I mean, there's actually a good reason why they hold a special place in my collector's heart. Is because early on, or getting into collecting comics started with collecting G.I. Joe, Star Wars, and Indiana Jones comics. But prior to that even, just my introduction to the Marvel characters, Spider-Man, Hulk, and the X-Men, all came from the free comics that were given away in the Dallas Times Herald. You know, whether it was...
That's an interesting point. I never really thought about it that way because I was already into comics.
Yeah, see, I mean, and I was at that age where the only Spider-Man I had been introduced to was Spidey Super Stories on Electric Company. And so the first time I actually encountered a Spider-Man that could actually talk out loud as opposed to just think things... was in the
awesome.
Was the Spider-Man and the Dallas Cowboys team-up comic, and then there was also like Spider-Man, the Incredible Hulk, and the Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders, which that was my first introduction to the Hulk outside of the Hulk TV show. You know, seeing it's a very, if you think about it, it's a very different take on Hulk, because in the TV show, he wasn't fighting, you know, the leader. He wasn't fighting out in the desert and throwing around tanks and, you know, all this stuff. So that was a side of the Hulk I wasn't used to.
He was just ripping doors off of Broncos. His job was
yeah.
Yeah, literacy was not high on the Hulk's agenda.
No, it wasn't. A lot of walking, yeah. Slouching.
Yeah, yeah. But and what was cool,
when he wasn't walking and slouching, he was doing a lot of leaping.
We use the term leaping loosely. Leaping loosely.
I guess perhaps bounding might be more.
If I were a Audrey Hepburn like a character from a movie, I would really hope my name would be Leaping Loosely.
Oh my gosh. But see, back then that was a time where you could admit that you were a Dallas Cowboys fan and not be embarrassed. So the fact that Spider-Man and Randy White and Tom Landry were all in the same comic book was just like mind blowing to me. I mean, it was just like, talk about worlds colliding. That was like the ultimate. So now
that would be a bit like it bought in heavily to somewhere in like the late 80s or so. Marvel was trying to play itself up as being quote unquote real.
Yeah.
Sometimes they would even have the characters like Wolverine one time took over the duties of answering the
question, yeah,
the fan mail, yeah,
right.
Took over
was this like in the letters pages?
Yeah,
yeah, the letters page. It was like, this week, this month, Bub, I'll be doing the answering the letters. And
are you doing the Wolverine voice from the old 80s cartoon, The Pride of the X-Men?
I'm just tired,
yeah, that's really more. I'm just exhausted more than anything.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah.
Right. It's
probably because I've recently emerged from my hibernation.
Gosh.
Only to discover the Wolverine from the Pride of the X-Men cartoon. But yeah, they literally would. I remember one person writing in talking about how they really enjoyed, you know, this serious letter being answered so flippantly. I felt bad for them. Like, oh, my letter got published for crap.
It's like, right. I really enjoyed a fictional character.
Yeah, how realistic Marvel comics are. And the sole answer was, you know, this whole very praising letter was, hate to disillusion you, Bub. We are real. It's like, no.
Oh, God.
No, you're not.
Do you know why? Because to Jim Shooter, they were real.
Oh, my God.
That could well be. And the funny thing is, this was about the same time that the New Universe was launched. And I know we're getting a little off topic here, but New Universe was supposed to be like, this is the Marvel, you know, these are the superhero characters from our world, the real world.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it was like, okay, I thought the other ones were real.
Yeah. Right, which you're confusing me by confusing me.
Yes.
That was just the dark times of Marvel between the New Universe and the Star Universe. We really don't want to go there.
Did you have to say Star Universe?
Yeah, yeah. I said it planetary.
You're not on the show enough to know that is forbidden.
It's forbidden.
I haven't been on the show since Super Probo Sports Balls, so I'm going to behave myself.
Best show we ever recorded.
Absolutely.
I have a feeling that I haven't been asked since then is because of the my choice of basketball players, but we won't get into that.
Listen,
here's the reason. You don't want to – you set the bar so high. There's a reason that Andy Kaufman wasn't on Saturday Night Live every weekend.
Is that what it is?
Right. You can't – when the bar is set that high, you can't bring that person back every week. You've got to use them sparingly.
Yeah, it dilutes everything else. You know, everything else is lost in the shadow of that.
You are the unobtainium of Hey Kids Comics. So what made you want to get into this now as an adult?
It's probably nostalgia. You know, going back and rediscovering some of those things. But in rediscovering some of these comics, getting into the collecting side of it later on, I realized that these things weren't just popping up in Dallas. I mean, you had different ones popping up in Chicago and Denver, and so that kind of led me to collect the other comics from the other countries, the other cities.
Yeah, Bobby's not getting invited back for our geography. Yeah. Issue.
Bobby?
That's the truth.
Bobby. I called you Bobby.
Yeah,
again.
Bobby's not going to be invited to that.
Every time.
I spent an entire weekend
That's
with the
Eddie.
Problem.
Literally
we haven't had you on the show
weekend.
Because we keep mistaking you.
I spent literally 4 days straight with Eddie, pretty much nonstop, and I called him Bobby.
Challenge people listening to go back and listen to the episodes I'm in. And somewhere in those episodes.
Everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone,
that's why you don't get invited back much because you keep getting mistaken for Bobby.
At least I didn't call you Taffeta.
That's true.
That happens all the time too.
So. That just happens all the time.
Exactly. But it was partially that, and then it was just the coolness factor, I guess, as a kid to be able to walk into a Radio Shack and then realize that they're giving out Superman comics. And then to realize that if I came back the next week, I could get part two, which had Wonder Woman. And then that led into the third week, which would have Supergirl. So, I remember all these things as a kid growing up. And so when I became an adult, I started, researching on the internet. Okay, how can I get a hold of these things? And then I started.
You had another chance to check out that really cool electronics experiment set that they had that allowed you to make things like the fish locator and the crystal radio and all that.
I got the first one from Radio Shack, the Lex Luthor one.
Yes, yeah.
But
yeah,
I never got the other two. Were they any good?
No. The art was good. I think the art was like by Kurt Swan or something.
It was. But I remember it being all right.
It was actually really cheesy. I think I remember it being something like Supergirl at one point gets kidnapped by Lex Luthor, and she's like in this mansion that's lead lined. And so, of course, Superman can't find her. But somehow Superman can't find her. But somehow these Breakfast Club kids that they're supposed to be taking, that they're visiting at the school.
Those are the electronics goonies.
Yeah, I think they're actually called the Whiz Kids, which actually spun off into a different comic series, believe it or not.
Because when I was growing up, the only place you would ever get like free comics on a regular basis was Kip's Big Boy.
Yeah.
And none of that was all that, you never saw the superheroes there.
Well, that's the other thing was like the restaurants got on the bandwagon from time to time. I remember as a kid getting... of all things, a Captain D's comic book that actually starred Captain D.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a captain as in a hero type captain rather than a ship captain?
No, as the actual cartoon mascot of Captain D's captain, like a ship captain.
Wow. Was it like going and fighting codfish or something?
No, I was really hoping he was fighting like the Kraken but all, but not so much. It was just like him fighting like... Stealth Hush Puppies or something like that. It was pretty lame.
I bet that hurts. I envision him, like fighting this fish and they're coming at him. He pulls out a big katana and fillets them. And then they fall into a batter and then ultimately into the
I really like the Captain D Sara Lee's crossover event.
Cole, I think you were thinking of, you're getting mixed up with that was when Long John Silver's put out Long John Silver and the Aquaman team up comic.
That's right. Yeah. The Aquaman was duped into luring his oceanic friends to their doom.
Yeah.
Straight into the nets, my brothers. What the hell?
That would have been awesome if that existed. But Andy, you said earlier about in the 90s with the comic boom, you saw stuff popping up everywhere promotional wise. Do y'all remember Pizza Hut? Back in the day, Wizard and Image were in bed together on everything.
Yeah. Don't get me started. You went two places today that we Star Universe and Wizard. You're just asking for a marathon episode of me just bitching.
Well, see, this is my thing. I have a feeling that X-Men, Marvel had X-Men in bed with Pizza Hut because you had Pizza Hut giving away like the mini comics with their VHS cartoon tape. You had a four-issue series where like one had Sabretooth versus Wolverine, and then Cyclops versus, I don't know, the Watcher or something. I can't remember what.
The Watcher?
Well, that was the thing. I don't know what came next, because I got only the first issue, because the first issue featured Wolverine and Sabretooth. So after that, you know, you peaked early. You didn't want the other issues because they had, like, you know,
that's true. Yeah,
like Squirrel Girl
not worth
or something.
A trip back to the for
yeah, you did. It had like Squirrel Girl versus somebody. I can't remember what the rest were, but Captain Mr. Banjo or something, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Now Bobby's just gonna show up. Now you've invoked Bobby.
Probably gonna knock on my door. Pizza Hut was big on the X-Men in the 90s. It was wild, wild stuff that came out.
I kind of remember seeing an ad for that now that you mentioned it, because it had the very, like, really dynamic art. It was during the pouch period.
Yeah, it really was.
When everybody had, like, lots of shoulder pouches and lots of belts.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and the Beast looked like a furry Ferengi.
Yes.
Well, that they had, like, Joe Madureira doing the promo art, which was, you know, really eye-catching, but...
it was the old bait and switch.
Yeah, yeah. But, once you got into the actual comic books, they had, like, the fourth-tier artist.
And then you get Hacky McStick figure drawn.
Right. You get Hacky McIntern over here.
Hey, I would have killed for a Hacky McIntern. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
A lot of those Hacky McInterns went on to be... You know, monthly.
Rob Liefeld.
A whole lot of them went on to be Rob Liefeld. It was sort of like Warriors of Plasma. They just threw all the hacks in the
Warriors
pot.
Of Plasma. Warriors of Plasma. Okay, don't.
And it turned into.
Don't get on my case about invoking the Star Universe. Yeah, we're evoking a trading card set.
I'm the producer of the damn show. I can do whatever I want.
Talking about trading cards that you collect and read as a comic, the worst idea ever.
Oh,
but
remember, I just linked something in Skype. I want to know who remembers it before we talk about it, because I remember it vividly.
Yeah.
Let's see who remembers this bad boy, because this used to show up in every comic book. There was an ad for it in every comic book that I read, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that you got to vote on what powers this guy ended up having.
Oh, yes!
Oh,
yes.
Indeed. Yes,
I'm
remember.
Speaking of none other than Combo Man,
yes!
As put out by Combos, the snack that you eat when you're driving for more than 6 hours, because it's not worth it if you're not. Like, these
also
are not pizza or pretzels. I don't know what this is, but I'm willing to read a comic book about it.
Combo Man. It was like he was like the
Combos was the kind of snack.
He was just kind of cobbled together by different parts of every superhero.
Settle.
Right. It's
awful. Yeah. His kneecaps would be a flame. Because he had like human torch knees.
Right. It was just like
his
different.
His calves would be perhaps, Colossus or Iron Man. I mean, at what point do Iron Man's calves or biceps benefit you in the least? Or Wolverine, If you're going to do Wolverine, get his wrists or his knuckles.
Didn't he have like Spider-Woman's boobs or something?
I think my favorite thing about Combo Man is that he has the Hulk's hair. That's all. He has the Hulk's hair.
The top of the Hulk's head. It's like one of those stupid visors with the carpet hair.
Right. It's like Guy Fieri's.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, Guy Fieri hair. Visor.
Oh, shoot.
It would be like, if you went to go buy your Hulk hands and Hulk feet, that they just took it that one step further. There's a Hulk hat.
That's exactly it.
You know who wrote this monstrosity?
Jim Shooter.
Mark Grunwald. Mark Grunwald wrote it.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He had like a Punisher, chest. So what? What is your chest? Your nipples gonna fire machine guns? Or?
Mark Grunwald.
I know.
The writer of over 1,000 Marvel comic books. The creator of just endless. Just the guy that gave us Contest of Champions. The possibly the most prolific and widely accepted Marvel editor-in-chief of all time. The compiler of Cole's favorite comic book invention ever, the official handbook of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, all I can figure is...
Combo Man.
When the Frito-Lay money, you know, when the chip truck pulled in, and Grunwald's there at his desk with a mouthful of nacho cheese combos, and he's like, hey, it's good to be the king. I'm taking this one on.
Right?
Oh, my gosh.
Hell. What the literal hell?
And that epitomizes kind of late 90s, because then, you know, someone was forced to actually draw this as well.
That's valid. That's valid.
You know, it's bad enough that it was written, but then someone had to take that script and polish that turd.
Again, at that time, I would have paid to be the artist on that project.
Oh, yeah.
I would have paid to have you be the artist on that project, especially knowing that 7 years or 8 years from then, I would be having this podcast, and I could talk to you about what the hell you were thinking.
No, honestly, though, I'm not as surprised that Grunwald wrote this, because it almost has a classic feel to it, in the sense that it's the sort of thing Stan Lee would have done. We could have Combo Man, who, I don't know why he's like partially Christopher Walken there, but it just reminds me of the time that he was on some god-awful kids talk show in the very late 70s, early 80s. Can't remember the name of it, but it was in the time when that was something you could do on Saturday morning.
Are you talking about Stan Lee?
Yeah, Stan Lee was on this talk show. They got some poor girl out of the audience who was just like was terrified, probably didn't care anything about comics, so that was their first mistake.
Mistake was giving her to Stan Lee to talk to.
Yeah, right? And he's like, what's your favorite food? Because chocolate chip cookies. He goes, every time you eat chocolate chip cookies, you become Baroness Bumblebee.
What?
God's truth. Yes, Baroness Bumblebee. And then the gag was, the set for this show, which I cannot recall for the life of me, had a turnstile type door, like an office building, you know, the four panel door, the rotating door. And the idea was he was going to talk about the Hulk coming after Baroness Bumblebee. She's like, well, I would just fly away. He can't fly, can he? That just about derailed things. Oh, he can jump very, very high. The idea was this guy in a giant Hulk suit was supposed to come out and surprise the girl, but he got stuck in the turnstile door.
I love it.
And it was just like one derailing after another. Poor Stan.
Can I tell you, my favorite thing about researching these is things like this, okay? There was a 5-issue miniseries, and this is how seriously comic book collectors and creators take everything, and this is why I love my people so much. There was a 5-issue miniseries released by Marvel Comics and the Montreal Expos, where they covered everything from like drug abuse to bicycle safety to the whole caveat, you know. And in my research, I found out that it is clearly stated in multiple sources that the issues in these comic books, the events take place before Spider-Man 200. Just so you know.
Just so every word. We're all clear.
That's awesome. Can we talk about those, like the comics that they released? You know, like the anti-drug stuff. Okay, because these are the ones that just really crack me up. Because when you read them now, there is nothing. It doesn't matter how good the quality they could have made these comics. Nothing in the comics that are going to keep kids off of drugs. I'm sorry, but like they had the worst things. Like. I think it all started back in, the first one I remember was back in the 80s, where it was Power Pack and Spider-Man, and I think it was like a child abuse thing.
Child abuse. It was absolutely a child abuse. So,
and they brought back the child abuse theme like every few years, which I guess is good to remind people, but because they brought it back sometime in the 90s, I think, with New Mutants, or maybe it was like the late 80s or something. But yeah, it seemed like Spider-Man was always like the go-to hero when it came to addressing child abuse or drug abuse.
It was either going to be Spider-Man,
yeah,
on the Marvel camp where he would be the headliner if there were more than one, generally. And then the other side of that coin was the few times that DC, it was the Teen Titans, because yeah. I guess they figured, you know, these are the characters closest to your own age.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, you'll listen to the Teen Titans where you won't listen to Superman because he's like, yeah, sure thing, Grandpa. And once you change out of your pajamas, we'll talk. You know, that's. But that's you're true. Willing to listen to Cyborg and and frankly, depending on your age and the level to which you've passed through puberty or uh-huh. you're entering puberty, you will do anything Firestorm tells you.
I will concede that, ma'am.
Princess
Coriander. I will concede that.
I'm your loyal subject. But I'm still doing that to this day.
Right. You know? I do it for Bobby Drake. Just don't tell anybody.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, there were child abuse, drugs, smoking was another hot point issue.
That's right.
Spider-Man, Storm, and Power Man. Apparently, Spider-Man's not nearly as amazing friends as his amazing friends. they battled Smokescreen.
I
had to research this because I would have sworn blind the character's name was Nick O'Teen.
It should be if it's not.
But, yeah, I realized that was probably from Steve and My Atrocious Universe.
Right.
Nick O'Teen.
Well, I always thought that the go-to for any kind of drug abuse was Captain America. Like,
there were a lot of Cap.
But what cracks me up about that is...
side of the street, you're right.
In the 80s, they had Cap out there saying that drugs were bad. And in the 90s, for about 6 months, they had him hardcore addicted to drugs. So, way to go, mixed message, Marvel. Appreciate that.
Well, how did he get
mixed message, Matt?
How did he get his strength to begin with? Drugs.
Drugs. Drugs are bad unless you're me.
There's actually a difference between, you know, experimental pharmaceuticals. Because generally, you don't have a guy, you know, on the corner, you know, tempting kids with super soldier serums. Yeah, first one's free, kid.
I wish they did. I would
see,
be
see me at recess.
I know. Right, right. Right.
And pretty soon, they're, you know, when they're going and they're playing war ball at recess, and somebody, you know, knocks one kid straight through the...
Where do you think the modern incarnation of Hydra came from?
Yeah, that's true. It's that generation.
Don't forget, Captain America also fought the asthma monster.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know there was an asthma monster.
There isn't. Let's just be clear on this. There is no asthma monster anymore than there is Combo. I want to see Combo introduced into the Marvel now.
I think the time is here.
I want to see Mimic snap Combo's neck in one-on-one battle.
Oh, gosh, that's messed up.
I want to see Combo Man versus the Super Adaptoid.
Right, yeah.
Because I think the Combo Man was the Super Adaptoid.
It very well could have been. Like, I need to find... Let me see if I can find a breakdown of the actual storyline from the Combo comic book.
Okay. While you're doing that...
Was it an actual comic book?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a comic book. It was titled The Incredible Origin of Combo Man in a
decidedly
uninspired title.
I thought it was just, like, flavor art for the advertisements. I didn't know there was an actual comic book.
No, it was like a play or something.
Oh, my gosh.
If you choked down enough combos... Okay, and here's a little bit of irony. DC Comics joined forces with, of all people, Keebler. Apparently, Ernie the Elf would sit up nights in his treehouse worrying about kids on drugs.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And he enlisted the aid of, you know, because they should be more... They should be addicted to sugar, chocolate-coated graham crackers and the like. Minty grasshoppers. But... you know, those that had succumbed to drugs, they actually did two different, I thought they were giveaways, but I was looking at the cover of the first one.
Yeah.
It actually sent you back $1 to get preached at.
Right? They're going to make you pay
hell?
For that.
Yeah. I mean, they should be paying me to read this crap. It actually had a George Perez cover, and in some striking irony, the kid who is OD'd on the playground in a reenactment of that episode of Welcome Back, Cotter, where Horshack got hooked by that gold deer guy. And then they had the world's first intervention actually took place on Welcome Back, Cotter. Give me drugs. That's how I know. So, but the Speedy is the one who is carrying his prone, drug-addled body away from the playground, hopefully to the awaiting EMTs. But we're hoping that's what's going on. But you know, either that or he's just going to like go toss him on the fire or something.
Okay. Cole, you'll be happy to know in the origin of Combo Man. He actually fights the Super Adaptoid because because the Super Adaptoid wants to assume the powers of Combo Man, because if he can assume the powers of Combo Man, not only can he quench his desire for pretzels wrapped around things that don't taste like what they say they taste like on the package, but he can also assume the powers of everybody. He is in the Marvel Universe. He is in continuity.
Oh, my
God. That is, again, we have talked about this before on the show, that one of the strengths of Marvel is that they would fold licenses into the Marvel Universe, which, you know, allowed characters like Shang-Chi to fight Rom.
Are you serious with
and
this?
And Godzilla.
Did you stop? We're not talking about Shang-Chi today.
And he opened the floodgates to the Forbidden Zone.
This is not 4 feet at Fleet Freedom's Plaza. This is not the Baxter Building. There's no negative zone.
There's no open forum here.
Upstairs. You can tap into the worst things. God. I had to deal with all weekend. 7 days ago, it was 4 days of Shang-Chi. Just Shang-Chi.
Every chance I got, I it was actually this bombardment campaign. It was this shock and awe, Shang-Chi and awe.
I loved how during the Don't Lose Your Geek Card, when you brought up Shang-Chi, and me and Bobby simultaneously from the bathroom both went, "Here we go!" And we got
to go. Oh God! Like all three of us, it was like a barbershop quartet of groaning.
Everybody else in the room just turned, looked at us like, "What?"
Like, oh, you'll know.
I have to point out though that with the Teen Titans drug issues that cost you a buck a piece, one of them was just sort of a. Apparently all proceeds, your dollar went somewhere on the first one, because this is all proceeds of this issue will be donated to fight drug abuse, which was sufficiently obscure to let you imagine that you were doing some good. Then the next one they did was part of the President's Drug Awareness Campaign.
Wow.
But then the third one, which I'd forgotten they had, there was actually a third one, was the First Lady's Drug Awareness Campaign. So apparently the president said, I'm too busy. You take care of it.
Okay, since we're talking about freebies and we're also now talking about substance abuse.
Oh, where are you going with this?
I want to ask y'all, because this is my white whale. This is a comic guy I've been searching for a few years on to no success whatsoever. Okay. Have y'all ever heard of Captain Alcohol?
No.
I mean, I've heard tell of him
before,
not in the same context. I think I met him at AllCon a couple of years ago.
Yeah, somebody was cosplaying him at all.
Yeah, very effectively. But no, I've never heard of an official Captain.
Okay, there is officially a character called Captain Alcohol, and what it is, it was a freebie comic which obviously addresses the issue of alcoholism.
That was an Elton John song.
Oh, I thought it was a Warren Zevon song.
I think it was Captain Fantastic.
If you Google Captain Alcohol, he actually could resemble something of a mishmash between Elton John and He-Man. He's got
wow.
He kind of does have an Elton John look to him, actually. No, but it was like a free comic that was given out where the superhero in the story was a Tony Stark, basically. He had he struggled with alcoholism, and the whole thing was it was almost like, from what I understood, the subplot from Superman 3, where Superman was fighting the evil Superman. But I guess this would be Captain Alcohol versus Captain Sober, I suppose. I don't know what the flip side to Captain Alcohol would be. But yeah, yeah,
I like this panel. Boy, am I swacked. Just one more drink and I'll hit the sack too. Early appointment in the morning. And he looks, I don't know who the artist is, but he does look genuinely swacked.
By the way, if you want to buy Combo Man, it's $5 on eBay.
Is it really? Oh.
Yes, Eddie.
Combo Man. I'm going to have to add that to the collection. It'll go right in there with my Charleston Chew Wolverine comic. Do y'all remember when that was a big thing also?
Oh,
it was like a Charleston Chew.
Marvel was in bed with like every candy company in the world. But the Charleston Chew Wolverine comic was actually pretty cool because it was, you know, a lot of times it would be just reprints of old comics. But this was actually an original story, and it was drawn by Sam Keith, which at the time, you know, Sam Keith was really making it big, you know.
Right. He was obviously under some sort of contract.
It probably was, because that's when he was doing Marvel Comics Presents. You know, the whole it was at the height of the Wolverine versus Venom storyline that was going on. And so, yeah, they probably had him under contract. So they said, yeah, we'll get him to do this freebie. But it was actually pretty cool. It was actually pretty cool.
I have a question before we move on. Let's go to a little more of a positive note.
If we can.
One of my favorite free promotional, you quote unquote promotional, right? One of my favorite free comics that's out there, free forms of comics. And this was really prevalent in the 90s. It, not so much today. I still see them occasionally. Is the Ashcan.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow. Yes, that got to be a big deal for a while.
Yeah. Does anybody have any good Ashcan stories where you ended up with something
again,
that was really cool?
I have a whole box full of the most obscure Ashcans you can ask for. Anything ranging from the Dark Knight, Totino's Pizza Rolls mini comic.
What?
Wow.
Yes.
You're a dedicated individual.
Jeez. I'm telling you, this is
new. Is this chronicled somewhere? You need to chronicle this somewhere.
I will scan it in page by page and put it on Facebook. If you
I don't know if you need to go that far.
Our curiosity will only carry us so far, Eddie.
I'm just saying, maybe pictures of covers. Like, this is what I do. This is how sad I am type of situation.
Nice.
Yeah. I'd like to feel better about myself.
Wow.
What's your favorite Ashcan that you've ever picked up? Like, are there any of them that you hold on to?
I hold on to most of them, honestly. But yeah, the Dark Knight one, the Commando movie adaptation mini comic that came with a figure, I still have
that.
Yes. Yes,
these things exist. How did I not know these things existed?
And what's so cool is it actually has like drop dead gorgeous artwork in it. Like whoever the artist was, I mean, he nails the likeness of Arnold Schwarzenegger in that comic. It is awesome. And they literally
that's a good point.
They literally tell the story, the Commando story, in like 16 pages, and it works. It's so unusual, but it works. It's pretty awesome. But you know me, I'm big. If there's anything I'm just a diehard collector of, it's G.I. Joe and Star Wars comics. Like, my mission is to own every single G.I. Joe comic out there. And there's been some, like, mini giveaways of both Star Wars and G.I. Joe that I've tracked down.
And, Eddie, you may know this with certainty, but when Kenner, like, 20-some-odd years later realized, the rating, you know, who cares it was R-rated? We're going to come out with alien action figures.
Yeah.
And their very first releases all came, you know, their various Bull Alien and Pangolin Alien, Amoeba Alien, or whatever they, you know, all their variations.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Fiesta Taco Alien.
Fiesta Taco Alien, yeah. But they all came with a Dark Horse comic book that was rolled. They were like these little bitty comic books, but they came annoyingly rolled up like a scroll. Even though they were, you know, staple bound like a proper comic.
Yeah.
For some reason, paying someone to roll each of them and then sleeve them in a very difficult to remove piece of plastic, they couldn't hit a high enough price point, so they had to throw in some kind of perceived value added.
Right. Uh-huh.
Were those original or were they reprints? But they had little comics in them of different alien stories.
I don't know. I don't know about those. I only remember them, but I don't have those. But I'm going to venture to guess that they were originals. And this is why. Because Dark Horse also, at that same time, did a Shadows of the Empire mini comic that you could only get in certain Urtle models. And that was an original story because that, you know, it took me a little bit of time to track that one down. They also did one. Man, this
Who was buying model kits at that point?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. not a whole lot of people. They also produced one called a Star Wars comic called The Mixed Up Droid, which is horribly, horribly difficult to come by. And what it is, it's also a mini comic, R2 and 3PO and on an adventure, but it came with a cassette. So it was literally cassette, you know, it was like a book and record, the old book and record set, but it was a cassette and mini comic. And
that's like almost the Mixed Up Droid. I mean, when you said that, the first thing I'm thinking of is, you know, back then people probably joked, yeah, this is what you'd get if Disney ever owned Star Wars. Look what happened.
But that wasn't uncommon for like action figures to come with original story comics, like G.I. Joe back in the, I know I keep going back to G.I. Joe, but they had mini comics with some of their figures in the late 80s. But even now, you know, when they had the two packs that were coming out, all those full-size G.I. Joe comics that came with the two packs, those are all original stories by Larry Hama. And they actually work them into the continuity of the old Marvel series. Like there's one that's like called 33.5 or 33.5. And it's literally like a backstory of something that they reference in the old 80s issue of G.I. Joe number 33. Like there's like a one page thing that something happens. Okay. They take that little bit and then Larry Hama, you know, wrote this whole 16 page backstory and they produced it as a new comic.
So they went, I guess, because they owned that property versus Star Wars, where they had those comic two packs and it was just reprints.
Yeah. And that's the thing. A lot of them were reprints, like the Star Wars are reprints. The ones they're doing right now for the Transformer figures, from what I understand, are reprints of the IDW comics.
What about the ones that came with superpowers?
Those are original.
Those little mini comics, very much in the same vein as the little mini comics that came with the very first Masters of the Universe figure.
Yeah, that's the other one. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, was Masters of the Universe also had an original story on their comics.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
How many do you have, Eddie?
The He-Mans? Actually, I had quite a few, but that all got sold on eBay when I was, you know, just buying stuff and
right back. A necessary purge there.
Yeah. Right. I was never into He-Man, so it wasn't anything I wanted. It just, I had them, they looked through them, I thought they were cool, and then turned around for a profit. So, like, you know, no big deal.
Well, something happened, and we're getting close. So there's one other thing I want to touch on before we do plugs and sign off as we shake off the cold winter that is all con and come back into the full year that we're going to have. Something happened in conjunction with 2002's Spider-Man, in reference to promotion and comic giveaways. And it was probably the most important thing since Combo Man to ever have been done with comics, and that's Free Comic Book Day.
Oh, okay.
Indeed.
Huge, important driving force in literacy and in education on comic books. Does anybody have any good Free Comic Book Day stories that they want to tell or anything they want to share?
I could actually tell. I mean, I was in on the ground floor, as it were, of Free Comic Book Day. And one of the things that I often point out when that comes up, just as a quick aside, is that Free Comic Book Day, I always want to point out, because I think we're coming up on this year's, if I'm not mistaken.
It's in May, yeah.
In May.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. Is bear in mind that anywhere you go to get those free comic books, they're free to you. Every single one of those books costs that retailer real money. The publishers do not give those away for free. Never have.
Right.
They are sold dirt cheap. Depending on the publisher, they're, you know, pennies. But every single book that they're giving you cost money. So do use this as an opportunity not to just go in and grab a bunch of free books, but check out what they've got for sale there and support the people who are spending some of their money to give you one or two or a dozen free books. But in general, they cost between about 12 cents and 50 cents, even more for the little indies. Catherine and I, we had a piece of the Action Collectibles. We actually had a brick and mortar store. We were able to, for 2 years, participate. The neat thing about that was we were able to use it 1 year to create Convention Awareness Project.
Wow.
Yeah.
Convention Awareness Day is what it was back then, because I knew we would get a bumper crop of people in our shop at the Dirt Mall. literally, we were like, people would come into the shop like, I didn't know there was a comic shop here. And my unofficial slogan,
I was one of them.
My unofficial slogan became, I wouldn't look for us here.
I have fond memories of that Dirt Mall.
You're like the Morlocks. You're just like, nobody would think to look for you here.
It turned out to be 3 weeks before the mall closed forever. But we coupled that year's Free Comic Book Day with Convention Awareness Day. And invited anyone I could get a hold of involved with any number of conventions. Had six field send some reps out, and we helped build awareness. And I had a big list of every convention in Texas that we gave out, and we had the Convention Awareness Day at the front end of the mall, and told people where they could go get their free comics at the back end of the mall where we were out in the hidden area. And it was just a whole lot of fun. It was a really neat experience. I was so happy to be able to be a part of that for 2 years. And that's one of the things I really kind of miss, is how cool an idea that was.
Right.
Yeah. And how much that brought to the table all those years ago and still to this day. And what's really neat is that, like, by the time we were involved, there were other things you could buy. Like, I bought in a supply of Free Comic Book Day Mini Mates. Uh-huh. And Norm Bleeden hate block figures. I think it was like $20 for like 30 of them or something like that. And it was just like a little plain mini mate with Free Comic Book Day on the chest. And we bought a big 60 count of the Hero Clicks Spider-Man that was the giveaway for Free Comic.
Yeah. Awesome. That's the thing about Free Comic Day, is it evolved to have other things, like you're saying, the little figurines. But y'all remember just like a year or two back where they did the Mouse Guard giveaway, where it was actually a hardcover digest size graphic novel? It was really cool. I mean, that wasn't cheap for the retailers to give away.
Yeah, because we would bring, we had a very minimal budget to play with. So we would bring in a bunch of the obvious. And then I'd get one or two copies. That was the nice thing, is you could buy like one or two copies of Owly or...
Owly. That's Colleen's favorite. Every Free Comic Book Day, he says...
I have to say, Owly, his publisher has been committed year in and year out to getting this.
And see, that's the thing about Free Comic Day. I tell Colleen, he's like, okay, I'm probably going to be gone most of the day because I'm going to hit like 20 shops, so I make sure I get everything I want. She's like, I don't care how long you're gone, as long as you come back with the Alley issue for this year. So that's our agreement.
Yeah, and some of the publishers have a lot of fun with it. Some of them early on especially were just like reprinting crap.
Yeah, that's annoying.
It got to the point where it's like, they're challenging each other. You put out new crap, you put out something new and original, or you're an idiot.
Yeah. And make it fun. You're trying to draw people in. You're trying to increase literacy. You're trying to,
I applaud Bongo Comics because they, after I think the first year or two that they were involved, they have since then always had their gimme free comic book.
Right.
And it's always some beleaguered image of a very beleaguered comic book man having to.
Yeah, it's called the free for all, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, it's called like the gimme free for all or something.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah. It's genius.
All right. Well, we made it.
I did have to touch on one ash can that was not readily available to everybody.
Okay,
but when I was working for Diamond, especially, I really got into collecting promos. And there was a brilliant little promo ash can that Bongo put out when they launched the line. Because Bongo Comics was coming out of nowhere.
Right.
They put out this very limited edition Ashcan, which my couple of copies I wound up with garnered me some serious cash down the line. But what was cool is it was done as the history of Bongo Comics. So they retrofit a fake history.
Huh.
And it wasn't about Simpsons comics or anything. They were talking about there was Edna, Queen of the Jungle. From the 50s, and there was these 1930s comics, and they basically took all the Simpsons characters and retrofit them into having originally been just these fake old comic characters of different genres of the past.
That's awesome. And
that just was insanely cool.
Now, the one that I got was I got to meet back before they were who they are now. There was an Ashcan that was put out, I think it was at one of the Wizard World Chicago's. And before they were really particularly famous, Quesada and Palmiotti, who are really nice guys. Genuinely, really friendly, nice, funny, good friends. That was cool to get, just pick up an Ash can for the comic book Ash. And, they signed it and we talked and it was cool. And you don't get that experience. You don't get to go to the Marvel table now or the DC table at a convention and pick something up like that.
That is such a good point, because there was a time when Marvel was the first to drop out, and they dropped out easily 10 years before DC did.
Oh, yeah.
Probably more. But, yes, that was what was so cool is, the big publishers would always have a table with some of their creators or, some editor who drew the short straw. Because, we met, was it Jeff Carlin? Is that his name? Can't remember. He was an editor on Marvel Universe. And, just bugged him incessantly the whole weekend and made him sign every single issue of Marvel Universe. And then he accidentally revealed that the alien races, which are credited to Patey in the back of the book, were actually, as I'd always suspected, drawn by dozens of artists.
Right.
Because if you look at it, the style changes drastically from alien to alien. He actually told us not only who drew some of them, but that he had drawn some of them. So then he was then forced to go through and identify and sign all of his.
I know.
Cole's that guy.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
So there's my tale.
Before we wrap up, I would kick myself for not bringing this up, because I almost forgot to bring it up. As far as giveaways or unusual little freebie comics, do y'all know of the 1966 Marvel mini comics that are, these are literally, I don't know if this still holds true, but were for in the collector's markets, they were known as the world's smallest comics ever made. And what they were, they're the size of a quarter. And they're little reprints of comic books that you could buy out of gumball machines.
I believe I have seen some of those. I've seen some that were not quite as small. Somebody marketed years ago keychains that reprinted classic Marvel comics.
They
weren't nearly that tiny.
Yeah, no, I have the first appearance of Wolverine as a Christmas ornament. But no, these are literally the size of a quarter or slightly smaller.
Wow.
And they made six of them. They made six of them. And the reason why I found out about it, because I'm a big Sergeant Fury fan. And so I found out that they made one of these as Sergeant Fury, a Spider-Man, Hulk, Captain America, Thor. And believe it or not, the sixth one that they made was Millie the Model.
Oh
wow. So you really, there always has to be something in the vending machine. It's the licorice gum. when you get the chicle gum vending machine, you inevitably wind up with a stinking licorice one.
And I love the fact that all these years later, we have a major motion picture for every one of these characters except for Millie the Model. So I guess that's going to be the next one.
Lord.
Actually, I think that's part of Phase 8. You bought into Guardians of the Galaxy phase.
Right. I'm drawing the line. I'm putting my
finger up.
It's time to wrap her up. Thank you, Eddie, for joining us for this.
Thank you. I love
you, Bobby,
on the show.
Eddie,
yeah.
Eddie will be joining us at a later date to have an entire show based on what he's about to plug for us. So Eddie, plug away all of the things that you have to plug.
Okay, very quickly, what Andy's referring to is going to be the first JCU podcast team-up. And much in the old style of the Marvel team-up comics, this is going to be Hey Kids Comics and Figments team-up.
Right.
And hopefully in the future, me and Colleen are going to come on and we're going to talk about cryptids and aliens in comic books. But we do our show Figments on the JCU. And of course, Cole and I do the Rancor Pit on the JCU. And if you haven't heard, Cole and I have some news about that.
News.
The Rancor Pit is going to be one of the new shows on Deep Ellum On Air here in the Dallas area. Obviously, it's going to be internet wide because that's how we
internet wide.
Yeah. So yes, we're actually spinning off a second show, as it were. Effectively, the Rancor Pit will become weekly because, you know, I need something else to do, apparently.
Right.
We will now be producing the Rancor Pit in its normal slot again now that we're out of hibernation mode, and alternating with, which will be on the JCU, and then alternating if you go over to Deep Ellum On Air, the Rancor Pit live, because we'll be doing live video casts.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see why it was important that I never be seen, just heard. as part of, we've been invited to become part of Deep Ellum On Air, which is an amazing thing. We're in incredible company over there.
Uh-huh.
And we'll apparently be kicking off each Sunday's lineup. We'll be because we're willing to get our asses out of bed earlier than anybody else.
Right?
Sunday's apparently like their geek day, their geek centric day, and we're kicking off the whole shebang on Sundays.
Oh, so Cole, what do you have to plug?
And actually, of course, in addition to Deep Ellum On Air, we'll have some more information on that. You can also somewhere on the JCU page, if you look for, I don't even know how the hell I'm gonna classify this yet, but if you do a search for a You Are Here collection, Bobby Blake and I are offering the
I knew
you
this
are
was
here.
Coming.
Speaking of
yes, the You Are
comics.
Here, yes, your first year here, the collected edition at a website special price of $7.50 postpaid. Will be delivered right to your door, signed by Bobby and myself.
So, in case you weren't listening, there is a book. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. you may have heard about this if you were at the at AllCon.
At every single panel.
That's right. Every chance we got. And, of course,
swear.
You can find us here at the Jedi Cole Universe, JediCole.com. If you want to go to conventions in the state of Texas and find out other places you can get the book. because Eddie and I will, when this airs, will be that following weekend at GeekyCon in McKinney, Texas, where Eddie doesn't know this yet, but he will be asked to display and sell the book there, even though he's not involved in that book. And he and I will be putting on a live panel of the Rancor Pit. There'll be a game show. The popular Screen Time game show will be produced there. I'll be doing my, for the first time ever, my one-man presentation, Confessions of a Z-List Celebrity, and some other fun stuff during the course of the weekend. And you can find out about that and other conventions in the state of Texas at Convention Awareness Project Texas at conventionawarenesstx.blogspot.com.
Very cool.
Yeah, you love plugging that book. I swear at AllCon, I walked into the restroom and somebody was in the stall and Cole was looking over the stall saying, "Hey, have you heard about my new book, You Are Here, the first year?"
Well, I've got you here. Let me tell you.
While you're a captive audience.
Yeah.
Don't
I know
get up.
Right now you're urinating.
Don't get
sometimes
up.
It's good to have reading material when you're doing the number twos.
Shit. No pun intended. Oh, so guys.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly.
Thank you both for being here, and thank you all for listening as we get wound up and come into this next celestial year that we call PAC every year, which is post AllCon. we're going to be ramping up. We got some good story arcs coming up. Like we were talking about, Eddie and Colleen will be on. We're going to revisit some things. We're going to take more critical looks at some different things. We're going to have some fun, of course. Expect some shows on the Captain America movie and the, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy movie. It's going to be a good year for us. I couldn't be happier that, these two yahoos are gonna be able to see their mugs every week.
Yeah, there goes our listenership.
I was gonna say, it goes a long way to increasing my listenership. No, I just
all I can think of is Pee Wee Herman. Oh, I've seen better heads on boils.
it's amazing. So with that being said, everybody out there, go out and buy or just find periodically through Colgate comics. Enjoy and collect them as well. Until next week, guys, I love y'all. I hope you had fun at AllCon. We're coming back with a fury. See you next week.